Good morning. Songs like that, what a wonderful reminder that no matter what life throws at us, we can have peace in the midst of it because of our God. His presence, His peaceful presence in us. Wow. Gets us through, you know, this day, every day, and, you know, it's got me through 59 years so far. You know, yours may vary, but, I mean, every day of your life, every day. Love it. So welcome if you're here physically or else you're here online. May you feel God's peace and His presence this morning in a special way because He is here and it is well. Let's start with our readings.
Our first reading is from 2 Peter Chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow to keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The second lesson is Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. A thousand years in your sight are like a day that has gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, and by the evening it is dry and withered." Here ends the lessons.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. And this is Jesus talking about the second coming. "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name and in your presence, knowing that you are here among us. May we feel that presence, Lord. May we be changed by your presence as we acknowledge your presence. Lord, speak to us through your word today. Speak to our very hearts, our souls, our minds, and our spirits, that we may be more changed to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're getting near the end of 2 Peter here. We got a couple more Sundays on it. And he's getting near the end of his final letter and near the end of his life. He knows it's coming. Persecution is now well underway. And things are not good for the church, but he's giving them encouragement. He's sending out the second letter of encouragement is what he's doing. And that's why he says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." Wholesome thinking. What we think about affects our attitude and it can affect our whole day. You start out the morning just in a bummer mood or something like that, thinking about dark things or bummer things. Yeah, you know, your day tends to go that way. It's funny how that works. It's going to be the same day no matter what, right? It's going to be what, September 3rd today? No matter if you're in a positive attitude or a negative attitude, it's going to be the same day. But you're going to take it in a whole different way, aren't you? And if you start out with a positive attitude, you start out giving thanks, you think, start out connected to God, you're going to have a better day. Pretty much guarantee that. You know, things are going to come along. Maybe you're going to have some bad times during the day, but you're going to get through it because of that presence of God and your reliance upon Him. So that wholesome thinking, thinking good thoughts, thinking positive thoughts, that's something that we can all do and something that we need to keep in mind. I was just counseling someone in the office this week who was, you know, just seeing the negative in things and trying to tell this person, you know, you got to look more at the positive, you know, and think about God and keep your hearts and minds on things above. Think about the things of God. Think wholesome thoughts. And that same situation, that same day, well, just you'll see it in a whole different light. And it'll go a whole different way. So it's important for us to do that. That wholesome thinking, to think good things, to think of God. And then he warns us that not everybody thinks that way. In the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Well, what are the last days? It could be the days leading up to the second coming, which, you know, every day is. And you could think of it as from the time that Christ was resurrected until today is, well, it's been leading up to that, so we're in the last days, clearly. And every day is a day closer. But some people will look at us and say, "Okay, Christians, why are you spending your time doing this when you could be doing other things on a Sunday morning? You know, you could be out fishing or something." So they're sort of scoffing at us in a way, like almost like we're conspiracy theorists or something. We got this weird idea that this guy's coming back, you know, thousands of years later. And he is, okay. But they don't understand that. They don't see it that way. It's going to happen. And everyone will admit it sooner or later. I mean, when he comes, there's going to be no doubting. There's going to be no denying. It's going to happen. So he tells us that these people are going to scoff at us, yes, and it does happen sometimes. I think around here, people are still pretty accepting of Christians. But in some places, they're not. The mission field, you know, out in third world countries where the kingdom is, you know, encroaching and being built, there's a lot of resistance because people are still set in their ways. And of course, we get set in our ways too. It's only human. But then we have other people now that are seeing Christians as being like judgmental and bigoted and things like that, when we should be all about loving others. If we're called other things, we should be looking at ourselves. Are we being that way? Are we faithfully representing Christ? Loving others is what Christ did, and that is what we are called to do as well. So keep that in mind. Okay, they deliberately forget that long ago God's word, the heavens existed, the earth was formed out of water and by water. And I started thinking, okay, God forming the earth, what do you mean formed out of water and by water? And that's where I had to turn back to Genesis 1, and this is sort of awakening for me as well, because I hadn't been there in a while. You know, everybody knows, you know, on the first day God created the heavens and the earth, right? The earth was a formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So water was there at the beginning. Before even light was created, before even, you know, the land was created, water was there. Isn't that wild? You got the planet's just like this big, huge drop of water out in space or something and nothing else. But water, necessary for life. We can't have life without water. Every organism, plant, animal, microorganism, needs water to live. Water is a source of life, and out of water, God created everything. That was an interesting reminder for me. But then water was later on used to destroy the world in the time of Noah, where people were going down the wrong road except for Noah and his family. The water that created everything was used to destroy everything. Interesting. And next week we're going to learn about
this can be destroyed again, but this time by fire. Sort of the opposite of water. Fire is going to be used to destroy it. Okay, so people are wondering, well, when is this Jesus coming back, you know, if he really is? Well, we don't know. No one knows except God himself, right? And his time is different than our time. And that's where we get into it today. God's timing. And in God's time. Well, we first of all would have to establish what is time. And that's one of those weird things. It is. But what is it? Well, minutes, hours, and seconds, but that's just our way of quantifying it, assigning numbers or units to it. It would exist even without that. It existed before humans did, time. And it's just one of those weird things. And even if humans weren't here, time would still go on. We have stars being formed out in the universe, going through their life cycle, burning up fuel, giving off light, and eventually dying out, going supernova, and that takes time. So time is one of those things that just is. Someone once said that time is the way to keep everything from happening at once, to spread it all out. That's an interesting thought, as time. Time has puzzled philosophers and physicists, and it still is sort of a weird concept. We're familiar with what time is, but what is it? How do you define it? And that's, yeah, even Einstein spent a lot of time with that, and you know, he came up with relative time, which is really mind-blowing when you get into it. The equations work, okay? I teach it every year. The equations work, but wow, that time can move slower or faster in a different frame of reference, depending on how fast you're going relative to the speed of light, and it works. The twins paradox, where you have two identical twins born on the same day, one jumps in a spaceship, heads off at near light speed to another galaxy and comes back, and has aged at a different rate, is much younger than the one that's here on Earth. Yeah, it works out. The math works. Okay, time is weird. It is. And time then is relative, like we said. Ecclesiastes talks about time too. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, this has been around for a long time. One other thing I should mention about Einstein and time. Someone asked him one time supposedly about relativity, which we can explain mathematically, but it would take me a while to derive the equations. I could do it, okay. But he said, no, time is relative. An hour seems like a minute when you're sitting on a park bench with a pretty girl. And also a minute seems like an hour when your hand is on a hot stove. So yeah, the time seems to move at different speeds, at different rates. When you're having a good time, time flies, right? And then sometimes time just seems to drag by. I haven't experienced that in a long time, but I was had a Bible study. We went over this with the people at the nursing home. This week, and they were talking about how time sort of drags by for them. Yeah, I guess that would make sense. I've usually got more stuff to do than time to do it, you know, and it just, you know, and it just goes by fast. But yeah, time is, it's relative, and it's a weird thing. And God's time is not our time, and that's sort of the key here. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Now, there's not an equal sign there, okay? It doesn't say it is equal to. It's the same as. It is like that. A long time to us is like a short time to him. Because time doesn't really matter to God. He's got all the time in the world. He does. All the time in the universe. There, since before everything existed, and there at the end. Anybody else's brain start doing somersaults and you start thinking about that? God existing before time? You know, it's a question that little kids ask. How could God be before time? But it's not just a little kid question, okay? It's also an adult question, and I still can't grasp that. Our human minds are so limited. If you thought of it as a long time, not before or after time. Long, long time. Okay. Yeah, there's many ways we could think of it, and that could be one of them for sure. So, it's one of those things that still we don't fully understand. We're human. We're not God. And that's important to realize. Alrighty. So time moves differently for him. Time doesn't really matter to him is sort of what it comes out to here. So being he has all the time in the world, he has all the patience in the world as well. Maybe that's one reason why we as humans are sort of impatient. Because we only got so much time. But if you got all the time in the world, you can be as patient as you want. And God is. Lucky for us, He is that patient. That's what it says in verse 9, right? He is patient with you. Yeah, He's been patient with me for 59 years. And thank you, Lord. Even through my young rebellious years and stuff, He was patient. He was waiting. He was there. He had a plan. Still does. For each one of us. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. Not some people. Everyone. He gives everyone a chance. We've all been given that same chance. Some people will accept it. Others will not. But He's patient and He wants everyone to come to repentance. And that repentance thing is perhaps something that people don't take seriously enough. We're humans. We want to do things our way. Yeah, it's just like a little toddler, we want to do it our way. Sometimes our way rather than God's way. And to repent then is to realize that, to admit it, and to turn to follow Him, to follow His perfect way rather than what we think is good for us, what's convenient for us, what's comfortable for us. God's way may not always be comfortable and convenient, but it is the right way. We have to seek out that way. We have to follow Him. That's what we're called to do, to repent, to turn from our way and follow His way. And He's being patient for everybody to do that. Alrighty. Psalm gives us a reminder of that as well today. Psalm 90 that was read here. That we're temporary. The earth is temporary. Everything's temporary except for God. Verse 3, you turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. Anybody else got Kansas playing in their head? Dust in the wind. Okay, that's during Bible study. That was, yeah, it was going there. Okay. And the author of that song realized that same thing. Okay, and Ecclesiastes tells us the same thing too, that everything here is just temporary. We're recycled, returning to dust. It'll be taken up by others. And that is true in science as well. We teach the law of conservation of matter. The other day for supper, I had pheasant strips, really nice pheasant strips. They were great. And now those pheasant strips are part of me, okay? This carbon cell in my thumb then may be a result of that. There's carbon atom in that cell in my thumb, yeah. So now that pheasant has become a part of me, okay? Will I have this cell, a year from now? No, that skin cell is going to become a part of something else. It'll be taken up and used by something else. We could also trace it backwards, too. Where did the pheasant get to that carbon cell? Well, from some corn that it ate. Well, where did that carbon get the corn? Where did the corn get the carbon from? Well, plants take in carbon dioxide from the air, as Luke would tell you in life science there. So that carbon dioxide in the air that was exhaled by a passing deer was taken in by the corn, turned into the carbon, was then used as a cell there, which the pheasant ate, which I've got. It'll now become a part of something else. We can trace it all the way back. Because we can't create or destroy atoms. We can only change their form. We can turn them into another molecule, into another substance, another compound. And before that, where did the deer get that from? Well, it got it from some alfalfa that it ate, okay? Where did that come from? We could trace it back. Every atom in your body, you could trace back to the beginning of time. Yeah, true. You can. Because we can't get rid of old atoms. We can't make new ones, except in nuclear reactions, but that's different. Okay. So it's just mind-blowing to realize that we're just temporary. We are just borrowed material that's going to be recycled. It's going to be part of something else and perhaps someone else further down the line. That is so cool to think about. So yeah, return to dust, O sons of men. He made us from dust. We're going to return to it. We're all recycled material. It's all right there. Except for God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting at the beginning to everlasting at the end. Without time, since before and after all, farther than we can imagine, He has been and will be. So who created God? Okay, yeah, and how does this work? I don't know. That's maybe where faith comes in. But if you've experienced Him, you know He's real. And He's there, and He's always been there and always will be there. And there is such reassurance in that He'll always be there.
Our time is short. 1,000 years in his sight, like a day that has just gone by. And his time is not our time. Or like a watch in the night. And a watch in the night can seem very long. If you ever had like the 2 to 4 watch in the middle of the night in the military, it can seem like a really long time. Everybody else gets to sleep while you're up there patrolling, guarding stuff. But no, like a watch in the night, it goes so fast. Our lives go fast. Really fast. Doesn't seem that way when you're young, but as you get a little bit older, anybody agree? It seems to, like, where did that go? Yeah. And our lives will have an end as well. Perhaps at the second coming, or perhaps when we meet Jesus face to face. And he addresses that in the gospel today. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. We don't know when he's coming back again. We know he is. It might be during our lifetime. And like I've said before, that'd be pretty cool. I'd love to see that. Or it might be during my children's lifetime or my great-grandchildren or who knows what. But he is. We don't know when. Which brought up the question then on Tuesday morning at Bible study, what if we did know when he was coming back? How would we live differently if we knew he was coming back on, say, February 23rd of 2024? Okay, if that was it. We can't say the date, okay? But I'm just using that as an example. If we knew what it was like, how would we live differently? Okay, some people, if they knew the time, would say, well, I've got till February 23rd. I can do whatever the heck I want. I can go misbehave any way I want up until February 22nd, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus, and I'm good, right? Some people might think that way, right? But even if that's when he's coming back, we don't know that we're going to be alive. You know, our life might expire between now and then. I could get hit by a truck as I leave here today. We do not know. Others, if they knew that date was coming, you know, on February 23rd, whatever, they would feel the need to tell others, especially as it gets closer. True. To warn people, hey, you better repent. Because it's drawing near, it's getting there. We were within the last few days now, as February comes and everything like that, it would become, have that sense of urgency would increase so much. The need to tell others. Do we feel that need? Do we feel that sense of urgency? And do we act on it? Are we reminding others? Are we perhaps at times warning and correcting others? Is it on our mind? Something to think about. And the third observation I had, if we knew the exact day, time, and hour, everyone would be prepared. Yep, we know it's going to come at 10 o'clock that day, so I'm going to have all my ducks in a row. I'm going to be totally prepared because I know that's when he's coming back. Sort of like preparing for company. You know that company's coming at a certain time. Okay, you're straightening everything up. You're cleaning the house. You're making it look like something out of a magazine rather than ours looks like real people live here. That's the way Jill and I put it. Real people live here. Okay, you stop on by. You're going to see a place where real people live here. And, yeah, that's what people would be doing. They'd be putting their house in order, but they'd be putting their spiritual house in order if they knew the exact time and date. They'd be putting their spiritual house in order so that everything looked like it was like out of Better Homes and Gardens or Good Housekeeping or something. It just looks perfect, right? Yeah. Well, it turns out that we are expecting company, but we don't know when. This is going to be surprise company. So he's going to see your house as it really is, your spiritual house. Hopefully it looks lived in, that you're spending time with your spiritual health and your spiritual house. It's not going to be immaculate. Anybody here, their spiritual life is immaculate? I didn't think so. Okay, we are human. But you should have that lived-in work. And maybe it's under construction, it's being worked on. But that would be appropriate, right? If we're building up our spiritual life, we're building up our spiritual house, that it's under construction. Yeah, we're trying to make it better. We're trying to improve it, absolutely. Would you be embarrassed to let him see it, to let him in? Are there things in your heart or in your spiritual house that you'd be embarrassed about? One classic tactic is to shove everything in the closet, right? Okay, when we got some kids that stay with us, you know, You tell them to clean your room, these little kids. And you walk in there 20 minutes later, boy, it just looks nice. Until you open up the closet and you see all this stuff, right? Classic tactic. Yeah, and have we done the same thing spiritually? Have we hidden stuff in our closet that we don't want Jesus or others to see? Well, truth is, he knows what's in your closet already. He does. There's nothing to hide from God. He sees all. He knows all. The main point in here is to be prepared. That's what Jesus is saying. Be prepared. We do not know when he's going to come or when we're going to meet him, one way or another. Either he's coming back while we're still alive, or else all of us having an expiration date, we are going to pass on and meet him there. One way or another, we will. The question is, are you ready? Amen.